All right, Rabbosai, good morning. Let's begin. Our shir this morning is dedicated. But I'll make the dedication. I'll repeat it now by Sally Goldstein in honor of Howard's birthday. Mazel tov. Wish Howard a happy birthday when he comes in. It's Hashem, beautiful. It's a wonderful anniversary gift, birthday, special occasions. That yomi dedication is it's like fits for everything. Bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah. Yartzeitz, and also by Paul and Kathy Pollack, in commemoration of the Yartzeitz of Paul's parents, Shmuel ben Zachariah and Sarah bas Avram, Zichron Levrach. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama has the Neshamas have an Aliyah and a family in a Chama. I will say it's also important for us to make note that today is Yom HaShoah. You know, again, I mentioned in the shir I gave last night that often in the Frum community, Yom HaShoah is an interesting day because we really mark the Holocaust as much as we mark every Jewish tragedy on Tisha B'Av. We already have a national day of mourning. And the establishment of Yom HaShoah is interesting also because it's during the month of Nisan, where again, there's still a... Howard, you just missed it. The shir is dedicated in honor of your birthday by your Eishes Chayil by Sally. Mazel Tov. Adnev Esim Shanim Tovos. You'll be mocking me for embarrassing you. Mazel Tov. Mazel Tov. Yeah, good. So as we dedicate our shir in memory of the 6 million Kedoshim. So again, as I was mentioning, as much as we have Tisha B'Av for the commemoration of the Holocaust, but it's very important that if there is an established day of mourning for the 6 million Kedoshim, it's mamish usser to ignore that. Okay, every person could choose to go ahead and observe it or acknowledge it as they want to. But one thing is clear, which is you can't ignore it. If the Welt is recognizing this, then of course we have an obligation in whatever way we choose to go ahead and acknowledge this as well. Exceptionally important. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama, so the 6 million Kedoshim should have an Aliyah, and the merit of Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring Mashiach, Tchiyas HaMeisim, and Am Yisrael to be reunited again. And we'll say with that, let's begin. Today's daf is... Tesvav, thank you. Today's daf is Tesvav. We are picking up Emir Tzashem on Yodal Namud Beis, 14b, at the two dots. Imesu Yiftu. I'm supposed to say, so this is 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines up on the bottom, Imesu Yiftu. If the animal died, then ultimately, again, it can be redeemed. So I'm supposed to say, remember, again, this is still talking all in the first case of the Mishnah. And in the first case of the Mishnah, so we are talking about the animal which had a mum kavua prior to its hekdish, then ultimately again was sanctified, and now the idea is that if it died, the Mishnah reflected the view that it could still be redeemed. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Zudiv Rabbi Shimon." These are the words of Rabbi Shimon. The Amar Kachem is Beach Hayu Bichlal Ha'amada V'Aracha. Kachem V'Dekabayis Lo Hayu Bichlal Ha'amada V'Aracha. Supposedly, we actually had this a few days ago, where we spoke about the concept of Ha'amada V'Aracha, that in order to go ahead and redeem something, it must stand on its feet in order to be evaluated. So literally standing on its feet is not a metaphor. It is actually like a literal statement that the animal must be capable of standing up. Obviously, if the animal is dead, it cannot fulfill that particular requirement. So the fact that the Mishnah says that the animal could be redeemed after it dies tells me that what? Tells you that our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Shimon, who holds that only kachim is bech, animals sanctified for sacrificial service, are in the general category of Ha'amada V'Aracha, but Kachi Veda Kabayis are not included in Ha'amada V'Aracha. So the Gemara says, this is not Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kachi Veda Kabayis, in Mesu Yiftu. Rabbi Shimon says that if Kachi Veda Kabayis, which mostly means animals that have financial sanctity, not physical sanctity, die, they can be redeemed. Modu Rabbi Shimon, Be'balmum Me'ikara Shenifta. Rabbi Shimon agrees that if the animal had a Balmum, if the animal was a Balmum, prior to sanctification, that what? That it could be redeemed even after its death. So my time, what's the reason for this? Amakra osa, because the Pasuk says, osa, osa le me'ute ba'mum me'ikarov. So we'll say osa comes to exclude ultimately, again, an animal that was a balmum from the beginning. The pasuk over here, v'herich hakoin osa, bein tov bein ra, rak ke'erkecha, hakoin kein gihia. So to teach me, ultimately, again, that the animal that was a balmum me'ikaro is excluded from the normal halachos of pidyon, which would normally require ha'amad avaracha, here it doesn't. Avacham the chum say, im mesu yikavru. The Chachamim say that halacha l'maisa, if the animal dies, again, same case, the animal dies, you have to bury it, and you cannot redeem it. Man Chachamim, so as you heard the Chachamim over here, Tana de Bei Levi, this is the Tana de Bei Levi. Why, what did he say? The Tana de Bei Levi, hakol hayu bichlal ha'amada v'aracha, every animal was included in the category of ha'amada v'aracha, which also means, in general, every animal had a requirement to stand on its own feet and be evaluated in order to undergo the redemption process. Afilu ba'mum me'ikaro. And ultimately, again, even a ba'm, even an animal that had a mum prior to his sanctification. So too, again, the Be'levi, when I mentioned this in the Mishnah, afilu chaya v'afilu of. Even a chaya and even an oath. I b'haksiv osa. But what does Tana de Bei Levi do with the word osa? Osa la Tana de Bei Levi kasha. Einachinami, the Gemara says that the word osa for Tana de Bei Levi ultimately is problematic. Ava Rabbanan de pligi alei de Rabbi Shimon mai. So what do the Rabbanan who argue Rabbi Shimon, what do they say? Hachinami dim mesu yiftu. Do they also hold, would they also hold over here, that if the animal dies, ultimately it could be redeemed? If that's the case, suppose then what? Then the Rabbanan actually agree with Rabbi Shimon. If that's the case, Ihachi, top of Tazbava Medalev, Zudive Rabbi Shimon Machlakuso Mi Barile. Ultimately, Rabbosai, the Mishnah should read, these are the words of Rabbi Shimon and those who normally disagree with him. Even those who normally disagree with him would agree with him that in the case of a Baal Mum Me'ikara, which is the case of an animal that had a mum prior to its sanctification and then died, that they would agree that it could still be redeemed. So the Gemara says as follows. Rav Krib Shimon Lakish. So ultimately, again, the Gemara says that Rav holds the Krib Shimon Lakish, the Amar, the Rabbanan, who says that in accordance with the position of the Rabbanan, Kodshe Bedek Havayis Hayu Bechal Ha'amada V'aracha. That Kodshe Bedek Havayis, which also means animals that have financial sanctity, were included in the obligation of Ha'amada V'aracha, right? Ultimately, again, to stand on their feet and to be evaluated. Kodshe Mizbeach Lo Hayu Bechal Ha'amada V'aracha. But ultimately, again, Kodshe Mizbeach were not included in Ha'amada V'aracha. But ultimately, again, our Mishnah cannot reflect the view of the Rabbanan. Why not? Diktani Seifa, v'imesu yikavru. Because what does the Seifa of the Mishnah say? The Seifa case, remember, is the case of where the animal did not have a mum kavua prior to sanctification. Sanctification preceded the mum kavua, or there was a mum over, then sanctification, and then developed into a mum kavua, and then you redeemed it. So the Mishnah says, in that case, ultimately the animal still has to be buried. So the Gemara says, Mimai, da mesu yikav mishun de bayama de varachu. How do you know that the reason in the second case of the Mishnah why ultimately you have to bury the animal is because it requires ha'amada and ha'aracha? Dilma mishum de'ein podin as ha'kachim la'achilon liklovim. Maybe the reason you can't do that, Rabbosai, is why? Because you are not permitted to go ahead and redeem kachim in order to feed them to your dogs. In other words, Rabbosai, even if you hold that there's some level of redemption, ultimately, again, for kachim, you cannot go ahead and feed kachim to your dogs. Maybe the reason why the Braisa says that, Mishnah says that if the animal dies, you have to bury it in order that you not come to go ahead and feed it to your animals. To which the Gemara says, in Cain, if that's the case, Nisni imnasa trefo yikavru. Then Abu said, the truth is, you could even say that even if the animal became a trefa, ultimately, again, you would have to bury it. You would have to bury it. That would also tell me that halacha l'maisa, the issue over here is a concern that you may come to feed it with my animals, to feed it to my animals. The other possibility is, the other possibility is maybe Rav really does hold like Rabbi Yochanan. V'tani zu div Rabbi Shimon machlokuso. And ultimately, again, you would change the version of the Mishnah to read that these are the words of Rabbi Shimon and his disputants. Then maybe Einachinami in this case, the Rabbanan actually agree with Rabbi Shimon that halacha l'maisa, the animal that has a mum me'ikaro, right, is a bal mum me'ikaro, then makdishit, then redeemed, that ultimately, again, such an animal could still be redeemed even after its death. Okay, good. Aval kodim ha'ekdeshon. Excuse me. Aval kidim hekdeshon. So we'll say now the Gemara transitions to speak about the second case in the Mishnah. Remember again, the second section of the Mishnah dealt with what? Dealt with a case where the animal first became hektish, then developed a mum. Or the other case is the animal had what we call a mum over, which is a blemish which heals, right? Then became hektish, then developed into a mum kavua. So we'll say in that second case of the Mishnah, the halacha is that everything is the reverse of the first case. Right? That's the Mishnah said. Everything was the reverse. So we know how to meet this. So just to illustrate this, just so we're all on the same page here. So remember, the Mishnah said, V'chol shekidim hekdeshin es mumon, o mum over lehekdeshin, l'achar mikanolim em mum kabua, v'niftu p'tur min ha-bechora, u min ha-matanos. So we'll say, if you redeem that animal, the animal is still exempt from bechora and matanos. The animal gives birth, there's no din bechor. There's no obligation if you shecht it to give zroa lechayayim and keva. It doesn't become chulin, that you can't shear it. You can't work it. It's offspring, and the milk is going to be aser, even after it's pidyon. If you shecht it outside, you're going to be chayiv, and you could go ahead and effect a tamura, and if it dies, you have to go ahead and bury it. I will say, or in other words, that in this case over here, even when you redeem it, the animal does not become chulin. That's the operative idea over here. In case number one, where the mum preceded the hekdish status, if you redeem the animal, essentially what happens? It becomes chulin. Remember again, why does it become chulin? Because in that case, what happened? The only, really only financial sanctity ever devolved upon that animal. Why not? Why? Because since it had a mum kavua, since it had a mum, it could not reach the level of kiddushas haguf. Because of that, when you redeemed it, your mamish able to make it back into chulin. In this second case over here, where either there was no mum and you sanctified the animal and the animal developed a mum afterwards, or the animal had a mum over, a temporary blemish, and you were makdishid, that animal reaches the threshold of physical sanctity. Physical sanctity. Mm-hmm. Right? Once that's physical sanctity, what the Mishnah is telling you is that even if I redeem it, it's redeemed in certain respects, as we're going to see, but it does not revert back to chulin. As such, there are limitations on the use of the animal even after redemption. Good. Says the Gemara, where do I know this from? Tan Rabbanan, Tzvi. Now we'll say, now this is actually very important, because the Gemara talks about Tzvi. Now what's the pasuk by Tzvi? The pasuk says, Ach kasher ye'achelas ha-tzvi ve'es ha'ayal, kein toch lenu, hatameh v'hatahar yachdav yochlenu. So, right, just as you eat the tzvi and the ayal, so we'll say not to be confused with the ayal, right? Tzvi and ayal, which is like the deer and the hart, H-A-R-T, right? So you shall go ahead. So the tame and the tar can eat it together. And I will say, now what's interesting about this is as follows: if you look at Rashi says over here kitzvi. Rashi says it's right across from Tosos imatzvi. So umokmina b'sifri de b'psuli hamokdashin sheniftu akasum edaber. So we'll say, so the Gemara is understanding that this pasuk is talking about psuli hamokdashin. This pasuk is talking about animals which were going to be offered as karbanos, but then something precluded their offering. Something happened that prevented it ultimately again from being offered up on the mizbeach. So watch this. So the Gemara says, ma tzvi patur min ha-bechora, just like tzvi, right? A tzvi is patur from bechora. We'll say, why is tzvi patur from bechora? Why? Because it's a chaya, right? I'm not saying that like in a derogatory term. I'm saying that like it's a chaya, right? Meaning that's a categorical classification, right? It's a chaya, right? Because we'll say, what's the halacha ultimately by Bechor? Pasuk says, Bekarcha v'tzonecher, only applies to behemoths, not chayas. So just like tzvi is pata min ha-bechora, af psuli ha-mokdashin p'tura min ha-bechora, so too psuli ha-mokdashin are also pata from Bechora as well. So we'll say, all that tells me is that what? Is that Psuli HaMokdashin are Pater from Bechora? Maybe it's not Pater, maybe Psuli HaMokdashin are not Pater from Matanos, right? Maybe there's still an obligation, if you shecht it, to go ahead and give Zro Lechayayim and Keva. Tamud Lomar, Ayal. Therefore, the Pasuk says, Ayal. Ma Ayal, Pater min HaBechora min HaMatanos. We'll say just like the ayal is pater from bechora and matanos, because again, it is a chaya. Psulei hamukdashim p'tura min ha-bechora min ha-matanos. So the psulei hamukdashim will be pater from bechora and matanos. Good. Aye, but 1 second. So we'll say, so now we're learning out the halachos of psulei hamukdashim, which we'll say, understand. So psulei hamukdashim fits very beautifully with our Mishnah, because essentially, categorically, a carbonic animal which has been redeemed essentially has the same type of status as psulei hamukdashim. Both were once fit for offering on the Mizbeach and are now no longer fit. Granted, they're not fit for little different reasons. One is because of some type of mum, one could be because of financial redemption, but categorically the Gemara is fitting them together. And what have we just shown? We've just shown that halacha lemaisa, just like psulei hamukdashim, are not subject to the halachos of Bechor and Matanos. So too in the cases of the Mishnah, when you redeem the carbonic animal, it will not be subject to Bechor and Matnos Kuhuna. But 1 second. If you're learning this out from Tzvi and Ayal, Ima Tzvi v'Ayal Chelbon Mutter, Apsu Hamakdashin Chelbon Mutter. But 1 second. Tzvi and Ayal as Chayis, don't have an Isser Chaylev. Right? You both say the Isser Chaylev only devolves upon Behemoth, not Chayis. So why don't you say, just as the Tzvi and the Ayal don't have an Isser Chaylev, so the Psula HaMakdashim don't have an Isser Chaylev, Talmud Lomar, Ach. Therefore, we'll say the Pasuk uses the word Ach, Chilek. Ultimately, we'll say the word Ach, we see this many times throughout the Torah, the word Ach comes to serve as a division. Essentially, to tell you that Psula HaMakdashim is comparable to Tzvi and Ayal in certain ways, but in other ways, it is not. Amar Mar, Otsiyas HaBachar, v'lo Otsiyas HaMatanos. So remember again, in the previous drasha, the Gemara wanted to suggest maybe Psulei HaMakdashim resembles Tzvi for Bachar purposes, that it's not subject to Bachar, but maybe it will be subject to Matanos. Maishna Otsiyas HaBachar, we'll say, why are we making this distinction? Why would we make a distinction between Bachar and Matanos? Maishna Otsiyas HaBachar, Shein Shava Bakol. Because we'll say the halachos of Bechor, ultimately again, are not equally applicable with all animals, right? For example, again, Bechor, the halachos of Bechor, only obviously apply to females, right? And do not apply to males. V'lo otzias hamatanos, sheshavos bakol. And I won't exclude matanos or bosei, which what? Is a din in every single animal. Talmud Lomar, that's the halamina. That's why we thought that maybe ultimately what? That maybe Psulei HaMakdashim Rabosai is only comparable to Tzvi for Bechor purposes, but not by Matanos. Talmud Lomar Ayal. Therefore, Rabosai, the Pasuk comes and says Ayal to teach me that what? That halacha lemaisa, it'll be potter both from Bechor as well as Matanos. Amar Rapapa Labaye. If you're going to compare Psulei HaMakdashim to Tzvi and Ayal, why don't you say as follows? Matzvi va'ayal. Ein osovi espino noig b'hem. Rabbi say, just like the Tzvi and Ayal, the prohibition of osovi espino, of shechting the mother and the offspring on the same day, does not apply. Why doesn't it apply, Rabbi say? Same idea, because osovi espino is a din in behemoth, not a din in chayas. So why don't you say, now that you're learning out psuli hamukdashin, ultimately from what? Naturally psuli hamukdashin, ultimately from Tzvi and Ayal. So say, just like Osovi Espino doesn't apply to Tzvi and Ayal, so to what? It doesn't apply to Psuli HaMukdashin. To which the Gemara says, So if you're going to do that, what are you comparing Psuli HaMukdashin to? If you want to say that Psuli HaMukdashin has the status of Chulin, Osovi Espino Noigbo, ultimately, you know, we'll say the halacha of Osovi Espino applies to Chulin, Ve'ila Kachim, and if you want to compare Psulei HaMakdashim to Kachim, Osovi Espino Nogbo, the halacha of Osovi Espino also applies to Kachim. Amar Leh, he says to him, Ihachi, Gabi Chelbo, Nami Neimahachi. So ultimately, again, why don't you say the same thing by Chelev? Lemai Medamis Lehu, to what are you comparing Psulei HaMakdashim? If you compare Psulei HaMakdashim to Chulin, ultimately again the Chelev will be Aser. Ve'ila Kodshim, Chelban Aser. So to by Kodshim, ultimately Chelev is Aser as well. Ela lav mi amrit ach, velo Chelban. We'll say rather, what do we learn? We learn that Halacha Lemaisa, by Psulei HaMakdashim, the word ach comes to go ahead and what? Comes to go ahead and exclude and tell me that halacha lemaisa, although psudim have a kashan, ultimately again will have certain prohibitions, it won't be chalif. So why don't you say also by psuli hamakdashin the word ach comes to exclude psuli hamakdashin from the halachos of osovi espino, right? Maybe that's what it does as well. To which the Gemara says, Rava Amar, ach li osovi espino huda asa. Rava says you're right. Ach comes to teach me that halacha lemaisa that osovi espino will not go ahead and Ach comes to teach me that Osovi Espino will apply to Psuli HaMakdashin. That although we're going to learn Psuli HaMakdashin ultimately from what? We're going to learn Psuli HaMakdashin from Svi and Ayal. And even though, again, Osovi Espino does not apply to Svi and Ayal, nevertheless, the word Ach comes to teach me that the drasha or comparison between Psuli HaMakdashin and Chayis only goes so far. Only goes so far. It doesn't include an exemption from Osovi Espino. Osovi Espino will still apply ultimately to Psuli HaMakdashin. The Gemara says, this is Rava's model. Ach, li Osovi Espino Hudasa. V'chelbo midamo nafka. And Rava said, this is actually very interesting. The prohibition of Chelev for Psuli HaMakdashin will be learned out from Dam. Rava said, what does that mean? Because the Pasuk says, Rak es damo lo sochel. You cannot eat its blood. You have to spill it out on the ground. So we'll say, watch, this is amazing. My damo, what does it mean, its blood? Ilemo damo mamish, if you want to say, it literally means the blood. Lo yehe ela damant kidsvi va'ayal. So we'll say, listen to this. So remember again, just so you understand, these psukim, right, these psukim, they're not following. They are following each other, excuse me. The ach asher yachela satsiv esayal, that pasuk is devarim yud beis chaf beis, and then right afterwards the Torah speaks at the prohibition of blood. So we'll say now, watch this. This is actually amazing. So the Gemara is going to now suggest that blood in this context does not mean blood. Does not mean blood. Why? The Gemara says, why would the Torah have to tell me my damo? So what does blood mean? Ilema damo mamish. If you want to say that blood actually means blood, lo yehe ela daman ditzvi va'ayal. Then what Rabbi say, you would say, so I don't understand, why should the blood of Psuli HaMakdashin be any different than the blood of Tzvi and Ayal? Atu Daman, Tzvi v'Ayal Mishari, is the blood of Tzvi and Ayal Mutter? So we'll say, obviously not, we already know the prohibition of blood from elsewhere. Ella, so we'll say, so why does the Torah need to restate this pasuk? Ella Damo Chelbo. Rather, Rabbi say, what does Dam mean in this context? Amazingly enough, we're suggesting now that Dam means Chelif. Dam means chelev. So one second. If dam means chelev, v'lichtov rachmana chelbo, why don't you just write chelev? Right? To which the Gemara says, ikasev rachmana chelev, hava amina, ahani hekesha, v'ahani kra. Because I would have thought, then I would have said chelev, I would have said, the pasuk serves a purpose, and the hekesh, the comparison serves a purpose. What does this mean? Ahani hekesha, l'mi utemikaris. So ultimately, again, the hekesh ultimately comes to exclude it from karis. Then ultimately, again, I will say, when the prohibition of karis is mentioned by chelev, it's mentioned by a behema. Dichsiv, shene'emar, ki kol ochel chelev min ha-behema, so b'nichra sa'nefa shahi. So, v'ahanikra, so we'll say, v'ahanikra, l'meikam alav b'la ba'ama. And maybe, again, what's happening over here is the pasuk coming to teaching that what? That halacha l'maisa, chelev by psulei mektashin only is a lavla. Hachi afki rachmana b'lashon damo. Therefore, the Torah calls chelev dam in this context. Lomar lecha ma damo bekaris af chelbo bekaris. Ultimately, to teach you what Rabbi was saying, just like dam carries with it a prohibition of karis, so too again chelev will also carry with it a prohibition of karis. We'll say, so amazingly enough, here's what's happening. I'm learning up psuli hamukdashin, the halachos of psuli hamukdashin, from the halachos of tzvi and ayah, from chayis. The problem with that comparison, it yields us many wonderful conclusions. The problem with it is we run the risk of thinking that the chelev of Psuli HaMakdashin will be like the chelev of Chaya. Just like the chelev of Chaya is mutter, so too the chelev of Psuli HaMakdashin will be mutter. Therefore, Kamash Ramah, the pasuk says, Rakes damo lo sochel, halo ares tishpechenu kamayim. What does dam mean in this context? So the Gemara suggests dam actually means what? Dam means chelev, not dam. Good. V'hatana ach v'lo chelbo kamar. But we just said before that ach, why do I even need this pasuk? We just said before that the word ach, Rabbi said, comes to what? Comes to split the drasha. Comes to teach you that Psuli HaMukdashon is comparable to Tzvi and Ayal in certain respects, but in other respects it is not. What's the respect in which it's not comparable to Tzvi and Ayal? Will be Chelev. That all Tzvi and Ayal does not. It's Chelev Psuli HaMukdashon. There is Hagikon. That's what he means to say. Ilu lo ne'emar damo. Had the Torah not used the Lashon of damo, Hayisi omer ach velo chelbo, I would have made the drasha of ach. And ach comes to exclude Chelev. Tell you that the Chelev of Psuli HaMukdashon tell you that the Chelev of Psuli HaMukdashon will still be aser. Achshav she'ne'emar damo. But now that the pasuk says damo, li oso vi espino hu da'asa. It comes to include ultimately oso vi espino as well. So we'll say, so therefore again, what comes out is as follows. Based on the pasuk of damo, we learn out that there is an iser chelev from Psuli HaMukdashon. From Psuli HaMukdashon, and from the word ach, we learn that although we learn out, we're comparing Psuli HaMukdashon ultimately to Tzvi and Ayal. Nevertheless, although Osovi Espino doesn't apply to Tzvi and Ayal, it will apply ultimately to the Psuli HaMukdashon. Good. Weiter. Ve'eino yotzin l'chulin. Now, remember again, as we said before, when the animal, when the hektish precedes the mum, so even when you redeem the animal, it does not go out to chulin. So, where do I know this from? The Torah Rabbanon, Tizbach. So we'll say, because the pasuk says tizbach, right? The pasuk says rach b'chol v'avas nafshecha tizbach v'achalta basar kibirchas Hashem alokecha. So we'll say, so the pasuk says tizbach. We dashin from here. So we dashin from here. So we'll say again, so the Gemara is learning out. If you look over here. No, not yet. Okay, so the Gemara says tizbach v'lo giza. That teaches me that the animal could be slaughtered, but it cannot ultimately, again, be shorn or sheared. Shorn. Okay, it can be shorn. Right? Basar velo chalav. You can use it for its meat, but you cannot use its milk. Via chalta, you can eat it. Velo leklavecha, but you cannot go ahead and feed it to your dogs. Mikan shin podin es hakotshim nachin leklavim. From here we learn that what? That you cannot go ahead and redeem kotshim in order to feed them to dogs. Amud beis. Ike da amri. We'll say others have a different drasha. Tizbach via chalta. When the pasuk says tizbach v'achalta, we'll say, look at Rashi just a moment. Ikedami tizbach v'achalta. Rashi says mehacha mapik giza v'chalav the aser ubasu urche dekrav lo darsh. Fine. So Gemara says tizbach v'achalta. Ein lecha b'hen heter achila el mishas zvicha ve'elech. The only time you have the ability to eat these items in general, karbanos, is from shas zvicha and on. Right? That's a general halacha. The only time consumption of a karban is permitted is obviously if you shecht it as a karban, then you could eat it. But ultimately, again, if you redeem kachim, you could eat it, you could use it even what? Even to go ahead and feed it to the dogs. So this is just a separate idea. There happens to be a fundamental machlokes. If you are redeeming karbanos, what does that redemption allow you to do with the redeemed item? So you see over here a fundamental machlokes as to the extent of use you have over a redeemed carbon. Meaning the most dramatic manifestation of that machlokis is, can you feed the redeemed carbon, can you slaughter it and feed it to your animals? So we'll say, so clearly again, that's the subject of machlokis, and as we're going to see, it gets to the very core of the mechanics of pidyon. Let's go right there. So the Gemara says, vladan v'chelban asr la'achar pidyonah. So we'll say, the offspring, again, this is just continuing in the second section of the Mishnah, where the sanctification preceded the mum. In that case, the offspring and the milk is going to be aser even after the animal is redeemed. So hichidami, we'll say. So what's the case? Says the Gemara. Ilema. So we're asking what's the case of the vlad? Ilema di aber v'isyalid. So if you want to say that the animal became pregnant and gave birth la'achar pigyonon after the animal was redeemed, then am I? Ultimately, again, why would the offspring be aser? Vlad tzvi va'ayal minu, as we just got finished saying before, that offspring rabosai should be like psuli hamokdashin, which is ultimately learned out from tzvi and ayal, as we just said before. Elo this aberlifnei pidyonon v'yisyal v'achar pidyonon. Rather, what's the case? The case is where the animal became pregnant prior to redemption and was born after redemption. So the Gemara says halifnei pidyonon. So you see from here that what? That if the animal was born before redemption, mikdash nami kachi, that the animal would be considered to be sanctified. So the Gemara says, Menahani Mili, from where do I know this? Rashi says, where do I know what? Third wide line on top. Rashi says, Vilifnei Pidyonim Noldu Kodshi. That if these animals, if this offspring was born before the mother was redeemed, the animal would be Kodesh. How do I know that? The Tan Rabbanon, because the Pasuk says, Zocher. Pasuk says Zachar. We'll say this is Vim Zevach Shalamim Karbano Min Abakar Hu Makrid Im Zachar Im Nekeva Tam Yakar Ben Lefnei Hashem. So watch this. So we'll say this Pasuk is meant is by Shlamim. So the Pasuk says Zachar. The Rabbo says Havlat. That comes to include that the offspring of a Shlamim has Karbanic status like its mother. Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here Zachar the Rabbo says Havlat. Gabi Shlamim Ksiv Im Zachar Im Nekeva Tam Yakar Yisiru Dinishta. Actually fine. Let's go back to the Gemara. Nekeva, the Rabbo says Hatmura. Nekeva comes to teach me about Tmura, that if you try to exchange a Shlamim animal for another animal, both animals, the second animal will have Shlamim sanctity as well. The Rabbo says, it's actually very interesting. What it's saying over here is, it's not just that we know that a Tmura is Kodesh, that I know. What the Pasuk is teaching me is that what? Not only is a Tmura Kodesh, but the Kedusha of the Tmura does what? It mirrors the Kedusha of the original animal. So whatever the original animal was a Shlamim, the Tmura doesn't just become Karbanic, but it becomes a Shlamim as well. Now watch this. Ve'enli Ella v'lad t'mimin, u'tmura t'mimin. I just learned two important halachas. What are two? Halacha number one, if an animal designated as a Shlamim has a baby, what's the status of the baby? Shlamim, right? If a Shlamim animal, you make a Tmura, what's the status of the Tzmura? Shlamim. And they both say, now I only know this to be true in a case where what? Where the mother or the original animal in these cases was a Tamim, was unblemished. How do I know? The Ainli Ela Vlad Tmimim, Tzmura Tmimim. Vlade Bali Mumin U Tzmura Bali Muminayin. We'll say, how do I know that if the mother who gave birth was a Baalas Mum, or the initially consecrated animal was a Baal Mum? And now what happens? The animal gives birth, or I swap out the animal for another, how do I know that those animals, right, the offspring or the tamura, where the mother or the initial animal was a Baal Mum, how do I know that they still have the Kedusha of Shlamim? To which the Gibara says, Minayin Kishu Omer, Im Zachar, Lerabos Vlad Baali Mumim, Im Nekeva, Lerabos Tamuras Baali Mumim. So this is very interesting. So the Gibara says, I learned that from the extra word, Im. It does, right? It doesn't, it says Nekeva, Zachar says Im Nekeva, Im Zachar. The extra, so we'll say, interestingly enough, Zachar teaches me that when an unblemished Shlamim mother gives birth to offspring, the offspring becomes Shlamim. Im teaches me that even if the mother is a Baalas Mum, the offspring still becomes ultimately a Shlamim. Im Zachar teaches me that if I had an unblemished Shlamim and I do Tamura, the Tamura animal becomes a Shlamim. Im teaches me that what? Even if the initial animal is a Baal Mum, the Tamura animal still becomes a Shlamim. Incredible. Says the Gemara, Osan Vlados, first white line test of the days. Osan Vlados shela akar pidyonan, matehe alehen. So I'll say ultimately again, but what happens to the offspring after their pidyon? Right? After the redemption, what happens to those offspring? So the Gemara says, Rashi says over here, Osar Vlado Shala Akar Pidyonan Noldu. Vinisabru Kodi Pidyonan. We'll say, so what about these animals that ultimately what? The mother became pregnant prior to the Pidyon, gave birth after the Pidyon. What's the status of those offspring? So the Gemara says, Lifnei Pidyonan Mifli Plikabuhu. So we'll say, remember again, when the offspring is born prior to Pidyon, then there's a Machlokes, Ikalamanda Amar Kodshili Karev. So we'll say, some say that the offspring are sanctified enough to even be offered up on the Mizbeach. V'ika l'man damar kodshe l'rayo. So ultimately, again, others say they're kodesh, but they can't be offered up. Instead, what happens? You allow them to graze until they develop a mum, and then you could go ahead and redeem them. But what happens, again, to the animals where the mother was born, the mother who's kodesh, became pregnant before her pidyon, but gave birth after the pidyon? What's the status of the offspring born after the pidyon? To which the Gemara says, "Mati alein." So this is amazing. I'm Rafuna. You know what you do with them? Konsan lekipa vein mason. Ultimately, again, you just have to bring them in an enclosure and ultimately, again, you let them starve to death. In other words, which we do sometimes with sacrificial animals where we don't know exactly what to do with them. So says the Gemara, "Dahaychi la'avid, what should I do with them? What should I do with them? Likravinu mekoach kedusha d'chuya." I'm sorry, likravinu, to say that I should offer them up as a karban, I can't do that. Why? Mikoach kedusha d'chuya ka'asu. Because it's actually very interesting. They come as a result of what we call kedusha d'chuya. Literally, again, a compromised kedusha. But I'll say, what's a compromised kedusha? Look at Rashi. It's Rashi almost right across. Kedusha d'chuya. Di'ispu tarti d're'usa. This animal has two strikes against it. Chada, di'imusan ba'ali mumin, sheniru v'nidchu. Number one, again, the mother has a mum. That's number one. Va'od, Dila'achar pigyon ar noldu. Furthermore, again, I will say, when is this animal born? It's born after pigyon. Vein atzman, en yecholon lahatfis on the kedusha gemur, lahakrif hol v'itchu sulam ixtis. I will say, watch this. So two strikes against this animal. Number one, it's born to a mother who's a balas mum. Number two, it's born after pigyon. So when you have this type of strike against it, so to offer it up as a karban, not possible. Lifrakinu, so you'll say, okay, redeem it. It's actually very interesting. Lo alimi lemitvas pigyonon. Ultimately, I will say its kedusha is not strong enough to allow ultimately again for pidyon. So I will say pidyon only works when something has proper sanctification. So this animal, I will say, amazingly enough, is like nishtahin nishtaher, right? A little bit in carbonic no man's land, right? Why? So because it has two strikes against it, it can't become a carbon. Can't become a carbon. At least that's what we're suggesting now. And because it doesn't have full kedusha, ultimately what? It cannot be properly redeemed. So Rav Huna says, what do you do with it? You put it in an enclosure, and essentially, you just let it die. There's nothing else for us to do with this animal. So in Eretz Yisrael, they said in Rabbi Chanina, Samoch lepeyonon matvis os l'shem os ozevach. So mostly, that's very interesting. No, there is an Eitzah. What do? Right before you go ahead and you redeem it, right, you go ahead and you matvis it, you designate it as the same type of carbon as its mother. So I'll say, so what does this mean? Look at Rashi. Samach lepidyon, it's right before Rashi gets wide, about five lines up before Rashi gets wide. Samach lepidyon, iman matfis l'shem oso zevach, dehashta chayla lei kedusha la'atzman, dechashvinu, v'lo apaka kedusha sayo aide pidyon iman, umemisin achimu, so we'll watch this. So apparently, right before you redeem the offspring, you could designate it as the same type of carbon that its mother was. Samoch lepidyona. Now, what does that mean? Before you redeem the offspring, lememra depnei bedinanu. Are you telling me that the offspring is redeemable? Ela'ema samoch lepidyon iman matfisin l'shem oso zevach. Rather, I will say what it means is as follows: that before you redeem the mother, ultimately, again, you have in mind that the offspring will be redeemed ultimately for the same type of carbon. Taimamai, what's the reason ultimately again that the vlados will be aser? I'm Rabbi Levi, gizera shem yigadol mehen adarim adarim. We'll say out of a concern that ultimately what? If the offspring do not have some type of prohibited status, people will maintain consecrated animals in order to have offspring from them because the offspring will be permitted. We don't want people maintaining consecrated animals. We want people either offering up consecrated animals or doing redeeming consecrated animals. So in order to dissuade people from maintaining the offspring of the consecrated animals, we go ahead and we make the offspring usher as well. Good. So Abayimini Rabin Rav Sheshas. Mao Shematfisan Lechol Zevach Shir. So we'll say, coming back to the offspring now, can you go ahead, and now you have the offspring of this mother, can you go ahead and what? Can you go ahead and designate the offspring for any type of carbon that you want? So we'll say, now we've established that the offspring has some residual kedusha as a result of its mother. Can I go ahead and designate the offspring to be a different type of carbon than the mother? Amarle, ein matfisin. Can't do it. My time, what's the reason? Amarle, gar b'sha'arecha b'sha'arecha mi'bachar. Make a gzir shava ab b'sha'arecha from b'char. Ma b'char, ein matfiso l'chol zevach she'yirtza. Also, just like when an animal is a bechor, you can't transform it into any carbon that you want. Tichsev ach bechor Hashem bechor laHashem abehema lo yakdish ish also af hani ein matfis in lechol zevach sheyirtze. So to Rabbi Osei, when you have the offspring ultimately again of this mother, so the mother has a designation, you cannot go ahead and make the offspring into whatever type of carbon that you want. Tanya kavasei de Rav Sheshes, we have a brayso which supports Rav Sheshes. kachim shekidim mum lekdishan beniftu. But say if you have kachim where the mum came before Akdishan, that's the first case of our Mishnah. The mum preceded the Kodesh designation, viniftu, and then the animal was redeemed. Chayavin bebechor matanos. Ultimately, again, the animal is subject to bechorah and matanos. Bein lifnei pinyonon, bein laachar pinyonon. Ultimately, again, this is true when the offspring is born. Before pinyon, after pinyon. It's before pinyon, after pinyon. Hagoze zva over behind enosofek eshar boim. If you go ahead and you shear the animal, or you work the animal, ultimately you don't get malchus. Bein lifnei pinyonon, bein laachar pinyonon, ein osin tmura. Ultimately, it does not make a tmura. Or lifnei pinyonon, ma'alin bahen. Before the pinyon, before the redemption, ultimately there is meila. Ulaachar pinyonon ein molin b'han. After pinyon, ultimately there is no meila. Vladosein chol, the offspring is going to be chol, right? Chulin, v'niftin tmimin, and they can be redeemed even if they are tamim, even without a blemish. Umatfisin lechol zevach sheyirtze, and you can make the offspring into any type of carbon that you want. So, you see from here that's what. Now, remember, this is a very specific case. This is the case where the mum came before the hekdish says. So we've already established that's the easier in these cases. Why? Because such an animal only acquires what? At most, is kedushas haguf, financial sanctity, monetary sanctity. Kedushas tam, thank you. Financial sanctity, not kedushas tam, not kedushas haguf. Therefore, again, the offspring are pretty much chulin, right? Assuming the mother was redeemed. The offspring are chulin, and therefore you could go ahead and allocate, or I should say, designate the offspring to any type of carbon that you want. Klalo shel davar, Rabbi Yossi, here is the general principle. Klalo shel davar, hariyin kechulin lechol divrayen. Ultimately, again, they are like chulin in all matters. Ein lecha bohem ela mitzvos ilui bilvad. And what does it mean? Ein lecha mitzvos ilui bilvad. Look at Rashi, three lines up from the bottom. Ein lecha bohem ela mitzvos ilui bilvad. Shema'alin osan bidamin. Ultimately, again, that you evaluate them, right? The only mitzvah there is to go ahead and redeem them for their worth. Aval kidim hekdeshin as mumon. But I will say, halacha lemaisa, if the hekdesh status came before the mum, which is the second section of the Mishnah, but this is a statement of Rishishas. So aval kidim hekdeshin as mumon, o mum over the hekdeshin, or for that matter, there was a blemish that would heal, that came before the hekdesh, ula'achami kanol mum kavua, but then a mum kavua developed, viniftu, and then the animal was redeemed. So I will say, in this case, the kedusha remains. Such an animal acquires kedushas haguf, physical sanctity, and therefore, again, even if you redeem it, the animal still retains some level of kedusha. And as a result, peturim mina bechora or mina matanos is parted from bechora matanos. Lifnei pinyonon bein laachar pinyonon hagozeis va'ovid ben sofek es harboim. If you shear it, if you work it, you get malchus. Lifnei pinyonon bein laachar pinyonon osin tmura. And both before and after pinyon, you could affect tmura. Lifnei pinyon on molin bahen, before the pinyon it is subject to me'ila. Ula'achar pinyon in molin, and after pinyon it's not subject to me'ila. Vladosein kodesh, the offspring will be sanctified. Vein niftin tmimin, and the offspring cannot be redeemed without a blemish. In other words, if the offspring are whole, they cannot be redeemed. Vein matisin l'chol zevach sheyirtze. And I will say, here we go. Here, this all is because of this statement. And therefore, again, when the mother was sanctified in an appropriate way, where she acquired kedushas haguf, and you subsequently redeem her and she has offspring, that offspring cannot be made into any carbon you want. The offspring could only be made into the same type of carbonic status that the mother has. Klalo shel davar, here is the principle, harehein kehekdish lechol divrayim. In this case, I will say, ultimately, the mother and the offspring are like hektish in every way. Ve'ein l'cha bahen, ela heter achila bilvad. And I will say, the only thing you have is what? Is heter achila. What is heter achila? That if you offer it up as a carbon, you are permitted to go ahead and eat the sacrificial meat. So we have to stop over here. We'll pick up the rest of the explanation of this brisa tomorrow. Shkoyach.